I'm Daniel Payne. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, having some victory over being abusive and learning how to be empathetic.
Amen.
So we are at the start of a new season. Anybody watch Netflix? All right, so you have seasons. We've got like a season with 26 episodes, and tonight's episode one. This is like the pilot. So if you like it, in 2 weeks we'll have episode two. All right. So tonight's lesson is on denial, and on the chairs there are a handout, and we do have an acrostic tonight. So if you're OCD like me, we're going to have D-E-N-I-A-L, six of them to fill in. So I think we have a principle and a Bible verse and a step that we should read. Let's read this together. Realize I'm not God. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. Matthew 5:3. Step one, we admitted we are powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Romans 7:18. So that's kind of the foundation of the opening for lesson one tonight. I used to have denial that I was losing my eyesight, but I have readers now. All right, so I can... Oh, that looks much better now. Much better. So for denial, I always go to Merriam-Webster Dictionary and like to look up, what would that word actually mean so I can get the gist of the message. So there were three things in the dictionary that talks about denial. First one is refusal to admit the truth or reality of something. So refusal to admit the truth or reality of something. The second one was assertion that an allegation is false. The third one gets a little bit closer to what CR would probably realize, and that's the psychology definition of denial. And the psychology definition is a defense mechanism in which confrontation with a personal problem or with reality is avoided by denying the existence of the problem or reality. So denial is everywhere in our culture. If you watch a TV sitcom, if you go to any movie, the characters have quirks. We can see that they've got foibles and flaws, and they're oblivious to their own flaws, but we can point them out. They can't point them out. We've got a pastor here, Marty Brown, and he has a trick question. He goes, everybody, I want you to get a piece of paper and I want you to write down what your blind spot is. So whatever the blind spot is in your life, write it down. And so the naive people write something down. And he goes, I'm sorry to tell you, but you can't see your blind spot. I can see it. Your friend can see it, your spouse can see it, your kids can see it, your coworkers can see what your issues in life are, but the way we're built, we don't see our stuff. It's not really until you come into an environment like recovery and you go into a small group or you go into a step study and you hear people go around the room and share and you go, oh, if I punch my hand through a wall, that's considered anger. I think I might have an anger issue. So like we have a green sheet in the back on anger, and it has 10 questions. I answered yes to 9 out of 10. So I belong in a men's anger group. So I can get out of denial and finally admit, hey, Daniel, you know, you've got an issue with anger. The way that you resolve conflict using verbal put-downs, using shame, using sarcasm, or getting physically violent, You know, that's all sin. That's all wrong. So you have to deny that that is okay, because that's not okay. So I started to make a list of things from my life where I've had some denial. So see if you can spot the denial in the following statements. And your life issues might be similar to this or might be totally separate. So here's a statement. I can quit drinking any time that I want to. Hiding booze on my expense account as a meal is okay while I'm traveling. I'll never be an alcoholic like my parents. I won't make the same mistakes parenting that my parents made. Viewing pornography doesn't hurt anybody. Watching a sibling beat my mom was bad, but hey, I'm okay. He wouldn't listen to me, so I got his attention by picking him up and throwing him to the ground. She doesn't treat me right, so I'm going to stop loving her. Making more money is the most important thing in my life. Using shame to get my way is okay. Sarcasm is okay. Lighten up a bit. Cycling 7 days per week is a healthy habit. Anybody spot denial? Anything messed up with those statements? Yeah. So those are things I've lived through, and I confess. And there's a time in my life when those things I wouldn't confess. I was in denial. I wouldn't say them out loud. So there are some issues if we have denial in our life, if we're doing wrong things, if we have hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and the way that we're coping with that is hurting ourselves or hurting other people, and we're in denial, and we just keep doing the same thing over again, expecting different results. So what's going to happen if denial is running in our lives? Well, the first fill-in-the-blank, the D, is that if you have denial in your life, it's going to disable our feelings. So D for disables our feelings. There's a Bible verse here, 2 Peter 2:19. Let's read this one together as well. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of destructive habits. For man is a slave of anything that conquered him. 2 Peter 2:19. So if we've got a habit and we keep doing that habit, that behavior, that response, those words over and over again, that begins to rule us. We just go by autopilot, and that's what we've done in the past. You know, you cut me off in traffic, I'm going to go in front of your car, swerve, and hit the brakes, and hope that you hit me. So these are mechanisms, these are coping mechanisms that we have that are harming us and other people. And we're not going to be empathetic. We're not going to be listening to our feelings. We're not going to be listening to our consequences, because we're just doing the same insane things over and over again. So I started drinking here in Oregon. I was invited out to a company function. We were celebrating a milestone. And I had my first glass of wine. And then I had my second glass of wine. And I started telling funny jokes. And people started laughing. And then I had more wine. And there was more laughing. And I just felt like I was more accepted by my peers by drinking. What I didn't know that that would lead me to drinking on the weekends, and then drinking a few nights a week, and then drinking 7 nights a week. So I was out of control with that habit. Another decision I talked about earlier was I decided to stop loving my wife. So I didn't like the way she was treating me, so I thought, okay, you don't treat me the way I want to be treated. I'm just going to stop talking to you, looking at you, and loving you. I'm just going to shut down. So that decision created emotional distance, and eventually I got kicked out of my house with the restraining order because I scared my wife and family. Not a good outcome. So if I'm not listening to my feelings, I can be a strict parent. So I was overly strict with my children, enforcing Daniel's rules and not really listening to their emotions. So rules without relationship create rebellion. So there's emotional distance between me and my kids until I got into recovery. And we'll learn a step called amends, where we address our failures and ask for forgiveness, and we start a healing process. So if I grew up in a dysfunctional home, but I thought I was okay, if I deny the dysfunction, when I became a parent, I created my own dysfunctional home. Because I never really talked about or addressed what I went through growing up with two alcoholic parents and an older sibling that was a rager and was physically abusive. But I thought I was okay because that was all in the past. So I was denying my feelings and hadn't really worked through life. Not good consequences. The next fill in the blank for E is energy lost. Energy lost. And there should be a Bible verse in Psalms. Let's read this one together. He frees the prisoners. He lifts the burdens from those bent down beneath their loads. Psalm 146, 7 to 9. That sounds encouraging, being free. Because remember, our habits make us prisoners. We need someone to let us out of our own prisons, our own jail cells. So energy lost, so if my addiction or my habit was viewing porn or becoming a workaholic, guess what? I'm spending all that time doing those activities. I'm not spending the time being a good dad. I'm not spending the time being a good husband. I'm not spending time being a good Christian. I'm not really following God's plan because I'm following my own plan. And I'm putting all my energy into excitement and fantasy instead of reality. Bad outcomes. But Scripture's got some promises for me. So God can set me free. In recovery, we try to take all the energy that our habits, our hurts, and our hang-ups are taking in our lives. We try to take that energy and we try to put it into recovery. We put it into change. We put it into something different. We put it into the antidote. So one thing I learned in recovery was that the energy I spent in being sarcastic, and sarcasm is just putting somebody else down to make me look smart and make them look stupid, to get a laugh, to be accepted. And the antidote to sarcasm is affirmation. So instead of finding something wrong with a person, I found out that in a relationship, I find out what they're doing right. So my friend Marcus rides a bike to stay fit. So that's something positive. Well done, Marcus. Just don't get faster than me, all right? A little competition is good. So in recovery, you're going to find out you can spend your energy and your thoughts and your mind instead of pursuing your old habits that are familiar to new habits. And so whatever your issue is, there's an antidote to it. So if you're used to being a critical spirit and being sarcastic and putting people down, the antidote is affirmation. And by nature, I don't wake up in the morning and go, I'm affirming. I wake up sarcastic and I want to make fun of everything. That's just my default setting. And so I need God. I need a God experience to change my way. So in these 25 lessons to come, you'll find out how to give yourself a new habit, a godly habit. Okay, denial. The N in denial is negates growth. And there's another scripture in Psalms. Let's read this one out loud. They cried to the Lord in their troubles, and he rescued them. He led them from their darkness and shadow of death and snapped their chains. Psalm 107, 13 to 14. Another really uplifting verse with hope and change. It seems like God is doing the changing somehow. So God wants to rebuild the brokenness that's in me, and he wants to do that for you too. But God can only change me if I raise my hand and I say, I'm screwed up, I'm hurting, I'm broken, I think I need some help here. Could someone come here and help me? You know, until I can say that, God's hands are kind of tied. So the first 12 months that I was at Celebrate Recovery, you know, I came to Celebrate Recovery not because it was my idea, but because my wife had given me an ultimatum. You know, she said, you go get help or our marriage is over. So that was compelling. I'm going to be here. But my attitude was bad. I was critical of the steps, the lessons, the teachers, the people, everything. And because I wasn't open to change, God couldn't change me. So not a very successful first 12 months. I attended, kind of made my wife a little bit happy, but you probably wouldn't detect a lot of hope and change and difference in me. Because I was just not willing. I wasn't growing. I was being negative. And so I was denying that I was harmful in the way I spoke and treated other people. So God can rescue and restore me, but only when I raise my hand and admit that I do need help. So maybe if you're in recovery and you've been here months or years and you're not seeing much of a difference, kind of ask yourself, is there something that you're in denial about? The people that are closest to you, are they pointing out things in your character that need to be changed? So loved ones can be tactful and point out our flaws. Small children are really good at this. They go, what's wrong with that person? So if you have a person like that in your life that can help you point out your issues, then you can start to get out of denial that you don't have that. The next letter in our acrostic is I. So denial is going to isolate us from God. Isolate us from God. So theoretically, you know, well, not theoretically, but scripturally, sin separates us from God. And it's only when I confess my sin that God is faithful and just to forgive my sin. If I just bury my sin and I don't talk to God about it, and I don't talk to myself about it, God's still waiting for us to admit that we have problems. So if I'm in denial, I'm going to be a little bit separated from God and his plan for my life. There should be another psalm here. Let's read this one. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. 1:5-7. I thought we were going to have a psalm Oh, well, we are volunteers here. There are no paid professionals. We're trying to take the Word of God to confront our faulty thinking and to count on the promises of God. You know, I believe Scripture is true, and I believe it's transformational. And I think I have a renewed mind when I open up Scripture every morning over breakfast and I'm reading it and trying to apply it to me that day. But if I'm still in denial, I'm going to be separated from God and His plan for my life. So we don't want isolation. We want fellowship with God. So what do we do at CR? We meet together. We have worship. We sing praises to God. We have small group where we can have confession. We have step studies where we can get filled with the truth and confront our faulty thinking and learn what the antidote is to our life issues. All these things work together, but we have to be willing to say we need help. The A in the acrostic fill-in is denial will alienate us from our relationships. It alienates us from our relationships. Now, do we have an Ephesians verse for this one? There we go, Ephesians 4:25. Let's read this one. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth, for we are parts of each other, and when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. Ephesians 4:25. So we hear that word lying. So that's a pretty stark confrontation. Who wants to be called a liar? So one thing we can do to get out of this broken relationships is to go to our groups, go to step study, pay attention. And we can go to a small group and we can share our burdens. You know, if we have a broken relationship, maybe we're separated, like I was separated from my family for 14 months. I kept going to CR. Hardest thing in the world to be separated from the ones that you love. But I was harming them verbally, emotionally, and at least one of my kids physically. So I was not safe to be around, so I got kicked out, but I kept going to CR, and I learned some things like amends. You know, when I hurt somebody, to admit that I hurt them and ask for their forgiveness, and then healing could begin. So if you've got broken relationships, this is really a good place to figure out how to make amends and get back on track. So if I'm in denial, I'm probably lying to cover up my bad habits. So I'm probably lying to the people that are closest to me, to my loved ones, to my families. I'm probably lying to my coworkers, maybe my parents, maybe the whole community to cover up. And so I'm breaking trust in all those relationships because they're counting on me to tell the truth, and I'm not telling the truth. So there's going to be some brokenness there. We don't have to stay in our brokenness. You'll find out in further recovery teachings how to admit when we've harmed other people and how to ask and do a proper amends. The last fill in the blank in the denial teaching is L. And L stands for lengthens the pain. If we're stuck in denial, it's going to lengthen the time that we are in our pain and our brokenness. And there should be a verse in Jeremiah 30. Let's read this one. God promises, I will give you back your health again and heal your wounds. Jeremiah 30:17. Being healed again, that sounds really helpful. That's something I want. That's something I need. That's something I count on. So you've heard of some of the pain about my story. When I came into CR, my wife forced me to come into CR. It wasn't my idea. I was here against my will. I think I was here a couple, three meetings, and I lost the best job of my life. So now I've got problems with my wife. I've lost my best job. I'm job hunting. I'm irritable. I'm angry. I'm grumpy. I'm blaming everybody but myself. So everybody else is the problem, but I'm the victim here. That was my thinking. But eventually, in recovery, the turnaround for me was to not look at myself as a victim, but to take responsibility for the harm I'd caused others. That's when it started to turn around. I finally accepted my part in my circumstances. So if you've got some pain going on in your life tonight, and you don't know how to get out of the pain, you're in a really good place. This is a safe place. This is a transformational place. People walk out of here that have worked the program, and they're different people. Their circumstances may not change, but the way they respond to life is so much better. They're so much healthier. They have so much more hope and purpose. Even in the Serenity Prayer that we're going to say at the end, there's a verse in there, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. So even when we start to replace our ungodly habits with godly habits, we're still going to have difficulties. We're still going to have people challenging us. Life's not going to be all Disney and unicorns when you finish a 12-step study. You're still going to have resistance, and life's still going to be hard. But the way you respond to it is going to be different. And people will see that and want to know where it came from. So when I have hardship and pain now, I don't blame other people. I go to God. And I say, God, I'm in pain. This is hurtful. What should I do? I open up the Psalms every day. And Psalms are a great place to go to in the Bible, because David and Solomon and others just pour out their hearts, their worries, their concerns. People are chasing them for their life, which I haven't had quite yet. But you can still pour out your concerns before God, let him know where you're at, receive his compassion, receive his mercy, and get an eternal perspective that will get you through that day, sanity for that day. So Jeremiah's got a promise of healing, and that's certainly what CR can give to you. It's normally gradual. It's typically not instant and overnight. But in recovery, with God's help, I took my last drink of booze in 1989. With God's help, I made my last assault in 2004. So I haven't hit anybody for 15 years. With God's help, I was invited back into my home in 2006 after a little more than a year of being kicked out. So change is possible. You don't have to live in the pain, the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that you walked in here with. You know, you could be a victim of abuse, or you could be the abuser, or you could be an addict. Whatever your issue is, consider making a change tonight and getting out of denial and admitting in your small group what your life issues are, what you're really hurting from tonight. So get it off your chest. Don't be secret anymore. Get it out there, and God will start the process of change and give you an antidote and give you hope. Thank you for listening.